Hey y'all, you're back in for another episode of Big Facts No Cap with Paul and Adrian, the only show that's number one with QVC sellers and all those tattle tellers. Let's get into this episode.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No
cap.
No cap.
All right. Well, let's get it started in earnest then. What's going on, Paul?
Not much. Today's one of my fasting days, so if I'm a little bit grumpy, forgive me.
So you had a bad work day on a fasting day? That's too much.
I know. Dude, it was a long day. I had to get up early. And I didn't get to eat a lot, so you know what?
You're too loved, sleeping and eating.
I know.
Yeah, truly.
It really is, like, pretty much two of the things in this world I care
about.
I've
always said you're kind of like a black bear.
Oh, isn't it grizzly bears that really get in more sleep? Like, they're the ones that hibernate.
I don't know. Is that true? I should know this about animals.
Yeah, I feel like, well, stereotypically, when you imagine, like, a little grumpy bear coming out of a cave, it's grizzly, I feel
Oh, they always have sleepy crusts on their eyes? Is that how you always imagine it? I'm just saying that, like, I think if you could live in the woods and eat berries all day and sleep for 3 months, I think that'd be your perfect life.
God, yes.
I've always wanted to catch a salmon out of the water like that.
You actually have me pegged. This all sounds great. This sounds like an ideal lifestyle.
We gotta go back, not back to monk, we gotta go back to bear.
I mean, obviously, I am a human with, like, a more developed sense of ego, but, like, give me some, like, media, like some books and a TV with some movies and stuff, but...
Not just a big old jar of honey.
And, of course, a big old jar of honey.
Of course. Non-negotiables.
Catching the salmon as they swim upstream? I love sashimi.
Oof. It's a good life.
Is salmon a... We did the whole New World, Old World food quiz. I don't think we did... Salmon in that quiz. Is there salmon in Europe, or is that an American fish?
Yes, because I know that part of why salmon is in sushi was a coordinated effort by the Norwegian government to sell more salmon abroad, and so they started selling it as like a sushi quality fish.
Oh, it couldn't have been one of those things that it became such an invasive species?
Maybe.
Well, I guess they are ocean dwelling, so it wouldn't have been hard for them to get across.
That's kind of what once you're in the water, it's kind of hard to... They don't really understand borders.
One of the PBS channels that does, like, natural sciences was talking about how fish get into isolated bodies of water, and that was pretty interesting. It was, like, either fishermen drop them there or seed them, and I guess wildlife organizations will also seed them from planes for fishermen to have. Ooh. But also... Birds can poop out eggs. They can eat eggs and poop them out, and that can transfer fish into like isolated bodies of water, like up on mountains that don't have any like connection with larger reservoirs of water.
Interesting. I mean,
just a little
eggs.
Fun fact for the Big Facts No Cap audience, because we like to have fun on this podcast, but we also like to teach.
We like to learn, and we listen, like, and we don't judge.
We judge a little.
Well, yeah, that's part of it.
I kind of like a tank top on you, man. I think it's a good look. Have you thought about doing it not just when, like, you're back from the gym, but just as a look?
I go out with it sometimes, yeah. This is what I wore when Dorley and I went to the gay club. She banned me from wearing my conservative-coded clothing.
Oh, I don't like that at all. I think you should just dress how you usually dress. Let's not cosplay for the gay club.
By wearing a tank top?
Yeah.
It's their culture. It's not a costume. That's true.
It's all our culture, buddy. Except me, because I'm not gay.
I was born this way. I'm straight. You were born that way. You're gay.
Yeah, how was your week?
Pretty chill. I'm back alone again. My roommate left me. So I'm just chilling at the house. I didn't distro yesterday. It was kind of cool where we always go out afterwards. We're very champagne socialists, you know that.
Are distro and mutual aid the same event?
Yeah. Just our distribution, like our actual distro event. But we always go out afterwards. And this time, one of our members actually got us into a bar that was closed. But the owner was like, if you bring at least 10 people, we'll open it up for you guys as a private space. And so we threw a little birthday party for one of the 10-year-olds, the kids that comes out to help us with mutual aid. It was Pokemon themed. It was very fun. They had coasters at the bar where you can draw on them as like a fun little artsy thing to do while you're at the bar. So I drew a Pokemon. I told Olivia I had a present for her, and I was like, what's your favorite Pokemon? And she was like, I don't know, Flareon or Jolteon. And I was like, would you believe me if I told you I drew your favorite Pokemon on this coaster? And she was like, oh my god. And then I flipped it, and it was just a picture of a Ditto that I drew really quickly.
Why are you playing mean jokes on a child?
That's age? Funny. That's a bit. She thought it was funny. She liked it. And she does like Ditto, so. Easy Pokemon to draw if you're ever in a Pictionary contest.
Is she the child of somebody who does distro with y'all, or just a very progressive kid? Okay.
No. She's the child of our social media manager person.
Oh yeah, July 4th was this weekend. Did you do anything? I went to a friend's place to watch the fireworks.
Dude, the Sacramento subreddit is the most whiny, annoying people about fireworks. It is. I think I've said before, like,
dude, all city truly, subreddits are full of obnoxious.
I don't remember
morons.
This in Colombia. Like, I don't think this was a thing in Colombia, but like here specifically, the number of people making angry posts about their stupid dogs or whatever, or like, I don't know.
For oh whatever my gosh! Reason, the, like, the fireworks upset my dog. Thing
oh my
drives
god!
Me
kill
crazy.
Yourself. Who cares?
Humans should not enjoy anything because one person has an anxious dog.
Don't
in
you
a
guys
city.
Know? Don't you guys think about me all the time?
Dude, when I came to DC, I've never been on the DC subreddit because the Charlotte subreddit, when I moved there, annoyed me so much. I was just like, I'm done with
really?
Like, local
there's enough,
subreddits.
There's enough good to weigh out the bad, but god damn, they're so annoying.
When I moved to Charlotte, I was like trying to look for recommendations for restaurants to try. I was like, I want to get out, see all the stuff in the city. And it's just like every thread about like, what are some restaurants around town you'd like to try? There would be a highly upvoted comment by somebody being like, oh, you know, I just don't go out to restaurants that often. If I'm going to go out to a restaurant, I want to make it special. I'll go out with my honey wife to somewhere with a white tablecloth and make it special. I don't get all these new restaurants. I was like, why are you answering that? Clearly, this question isn't for you.
You know, I feel like this might be deja vu, where if we go check out the July 4th episode from last year, I think we had this exact conversation. Like, even leading from fireworks to local subreddits to restaurant recommendations. Yeah, old grievances, I guess.
It still drives it. But, like, there was, like, a version of that for almost any question on that subreddit where somebody would – and they would be upvoted. So I'd be like, how is this a common sentiment that the answer to any question is some
is to
annoying
be
old man? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, don't reply.
Wow, dude, that would fix – so many problems if people were able to pass by things that they don't need to concern themselves with. But the thing about the Sacramento subreddit that's a little bit annoying is people will get on you of like, oh, this gets asked like every month. Go search the subreddit instead of asking again. Which I like it when other people kind of come in to answer the same question over and over again. It gets you.
Also, I assume the people with good opinions aren't spending every day subreddit. So maybe you can have a weekly thread about restaurants and stuff like that. Stuff changes pretty quickly, and it really does not seem like a big problem.
I don't know. I don't really understand the rules about the legality and illegality of certain fireworks here. But so at some point, people were getting really big fines, like $1,000 per firework if they got caught using illegal fireworks. And people were like praising that. And I was like, y'all are the police. Y'all crazy. Couldn't be me.
I know. Wow. Yeah, they're illegal in D.C. They were in Charlotte, too, but South Carolina border was so close that I think.
Right. South of the border.
Everybody who wanted them could get them pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Not this year, but the year before, me and Isabel walked around. Maybe I talked about it in last year's episode. That was right after July 4th.
Yeah.
But we walked around. A lot of people selling them out of the trunks of their car, like, the night of. So I guess that's, like, a pretty good hustle. It's, like, if you're willing to drive a couple states over, buy fireworks.
And then sell
them in the city.
I don't know how much they up. I don't know how much they upsell them, but fireworks. I remember even as a kid being like, "These are crazy expensive. Like that's insane."
Yeah.
My
parents were pretty good about that when we were kids. Like we would go out in the neighborhood. They would always buy some fireworks, and we'd go out, and there'd be like a big neighborhood place where everybody who bought fireworks would shoot them off together. So you got to see, like, I don't know. It wasn't just like what
it wasn't like a dueling fireworks thing.
Yeah, and then we'd shoot them at each other. You know, in Lebanon, one time we did do that with my, my cousin's kids who were my age. We did the, like, the Roman candle battle, but I never did that in America.
Oh, that seems pretty dangerous. I don't know. I don't think I ever messed with that too much. But we always got fireworks for Christmas Eve. That was one of our things, a Guatemalan tradition.
Oh, nice.
Which, speaking of representation, I still remember that being a plot in Modern Family, where, because she's Colombian, she was talking about fireworks at Christmas Eve, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Hell yeah.
Guatemala and Mexico also played last week. How'd that end?
Guatemala played the USA.
Oh.
Yeah, we lost 2-1.
Dang.
It was rough. I texted you about it. I said, this is our 9/11.
Did 1,000 Guatemalans die, or just,
Is that what it means? Is that what it has to be? Is that the delineation?
Have you not seen that? It's become a thing lately. I feel like during COVID, everybody was like, oh, this is like a 9/11 a week because...
Oh, people like are using that as like a quantity? Like
1,000 people were dying a week. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And that's supposed to appeal to a conservative who didn't think COVID was a big deal because they're patriotic, so they like feeling bad about 9/11. So they were convinced by that?
I assume so, right? There was no weird, like, backlash to COVID policy by conservatives,
right?
Yeah, I think
so. That's a very smart argument, and I'm sure it worked very well.
That's how I remember COVID
going
down.
Speaking of which...
Nobody's brain was...
nobody's brain was melted.
Nobody's brain went crazy.
Oh, I had a media roundup. Oh, well, I wanted to talk really quickly about... Sometimes I can't tell what's in my bubble and what's outside of my bubble. Is this whole Gen Z is talking about doing micro-retirements thing an actual thing that people are talking about, or is that just something I saw the other day?
I haven't seen this. Is micro-retiring just, like,
as a way to prevent
time?
It's like one
jobs?
Of those things where, like, who would be the ones, like, Forbes is writing about it or something, New York Times? It's
the same people, I have to assume, who pretended quiet quitting with a really
exactly.
Big
it feels
thing.
Exactly like that, and it is the thing where it's set up for people to be like, micro retirement, that's just a vacation. Gen Z is so overworked they don't know what a vacation is.
Is it like you stay at the same job?
It's the idea of taking like 2 weeks off your job. Yeah,
okay, that's just a sabbatical.
Yeah, it's a very short sabbatical.
Companies have those.
The thing that I wanted to recommend that's free on Amazon is a show called Gary and His Demons. It's an adult animated sitcom, very funny. It's a Canadian production. It's got 2 seasons. Each episode's like 15 minutes. It's almost like watching an Adult Swim show. It got likened to Rick and Morty, which I sort of see, but if you want to make that comparison, it's like one of the good seasons of Rick and Morty. It's very funny, so, you know, if that puts you off, I think you should still watch it.
What's the premise?
It's a guy who's the chosen one, and so because of that, he's forced to be a demon hunter, and on the first episode, he's finally going to get to retire, which he wants to do because he hates his job, and then he finds out he has to keep doing it.
Okay.
And so it's
very One Punch Man, it sounds like.
It's like
kind of like exasperation of something fantastical.
Kind of, yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty good. So do you want to get in the theme now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Alrighty. The theme is As Seen on TV.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different directions to take this. Do you have memories of, like, things that captured you as a child?
I think we're mostly doing memories, right? We don't really see ads anymore on TV. Well, I guess the show that I just recommended is free with ads, but it's weird because, like, a lot of the ads are just telling you that there has to be ads on this program. It's not even actually advertising anything. It's Amazon being like, this show is shown with ads.
That's like when
here's 8 seconds of this screen, yeah.
That's like when a show tells you presented ad-free by blank company, mm-hmm. and you're like, Johnson & Johnson presenting this ad-free. And it's like, no, you didn't. You just told me.
I still
me
have to watch
Johnson
it,
& Johnson.
Yeah.
You just shouted out a company. That's an ad.
But yeah, I think I'm gonna go mostly memory based. R.I.P. Billy Mays. He's the only father that I really knew. I got my friend saying, "Hey, praying, I'm gonna be a better you."
Now, do you think that's gonna be a little disrespectful to your actual father?
Nah.
Okay. He knows the place Billy Mays has in your life.
Yeah. My dedication to OxyClean.
You mentioned the ShamWow guy?
Yeah, Slapchop too. That guy was he had less brand loyalty. He was kind of willing to do anything.
Ooh, he was a bit of a As Seen on TV whore.
Speaking of which, he did get in trouble for assaulting a sex worker.
I remembered he had, like, a controversy. That was it? That's what he did?
Yeah, and I like how there was this thing where, like, Phil and I were talking about him, and I was like, do you remember the controversy around him? And he was like, yeah, he beat up a hooker. And I was like, well, I think we say sex worker now. And I was like, I think he just said the way people would say it when that happened. And I think that's literally just how he had it memorized in his head.
Yeah, Also, sex worker seems like maybe more an umbrella term. I feel like we do need another word for people who do prostitution.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess so. You're saying that if you had beaten up an OnlyFans person, you'd be like, I mean, what are you going to do? They're asking for it.
It is crazy how those things just, like, meld in your mind. Like, I remembered there was something negative about him, but it's just, like, that was so long ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like being this kind of person, but he had a sinister energy about him. Like, not surprised at all when you found out about that.
Well, I remember it being a big deal culturally, and was it kind of, like, obviously, like, different emotions for how society reacted to it, but did it kind of feel to you like when Paul Walker died, like, how much it kind of surprised you how this many people cared about this person so much? Like, they seemed like not the number one celebrity in our culture, but...
Or maybe, it was just big news with middle schoolers or however old we were when it happened.
Yeah, maybe because of, like, the shocking nature of it mixed with, like, everybody sort of knowing him.
Yeah. But in terms of the actual products, the shake weight, obviously, we had the As Seen on TV store in the mall. Phil and I were talking about the theme, and he was saying that I think the only thing that his parents ever bought from As Seen on TV was Snuggies. They all had Snuggies.
Oh, yeah. That really brought forth the era of every family having to get a novelty blanket product for, like, five Christmases in a row.
Yeah. And Phil was like, well, now they make them to where, like, you can look like you're a bag of Cheetos, and that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. Phil doesn't lie. Cool.
So, wait, what was the concept of the Snuggie, though? It was just, like, a front blanket that covers your arms, and that's what people needed out of it, or...?
Yeah, I think so. It was a blanket with arms and a hood.
Right. Yeah, I think even as a kid, I was like, I can fashion that myself if I really needed to.
It was a very early, like, they had, like, a memeability to it in a way. It had, like, a cultural memeability.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever buy anything from TV?
No, because that was the era. It's like you don't have your own credit card because you're a kid, so that's all filtered through your parents, and they know that that shit's a scam, kind of.
Yeah, and it was also mostly geared at parents, right? Like, a lot of kids weren't like, oh, God, I gotta chop through all these vegetables.
That's true, but Has this ever happened to you? Toys that were in that format, too, right? Maybe they weren't so much infomercial as much as just, like, longer commercials that told you you could buy a toy.
I think we have to make a delineation there, because, like, at what point are we talking about, like, Girls Gone Wild or, like, the music that they tried to sell on TV?
Where music would have been one that was more, in my mind, I'm mixing up infomercials with anything that ended with, like, that blue screen with the little corner and
how much the payment is each time. Yeah,
and sometimes those were just longer commercials on kids' channels that were advertising toys, but I guess infomercials are different. They're a little bit even longer than that.
Is that what delineates them? I don't know.
But no, I don't think I ever... got anything off an infomercial. A lot of cleaning products.
You never got a Ginsu knife?
No, what was that one? Could it cut through the Coke can? Was it the one that...
Or was it the shoe? I thought it was like they cut through a shoe in the episode.
I think they cut through everything.
It's pretty satisfying.
Which, what does that convince you of? Because I feel like cutting through a shoe is not like a...
You think that's an easy thing to do? You think you could karate chop through a shoe?
No, I just don't know what's equivalent to that in a kitchen where I'm like, oh, I would need to cut through that.
Yeah, it would be more effective to just show people cutting vegetables, I guess. There is a funny thing where I think my freshman year of college in Phil's dorm, there was a guy whose side hustle is that he sold those kind of knives over the phone. So it was like it was one of those like work your own schedule. Whenever you have time, you can start making these calls and like sell these knives or whatever. I have no idea how well it worked for him, but I remember hearing about it.
You know, we often say like, oh, that's too visual for the pod. I think that might be too visual of a thing to sell over the phone.
He's like, you can hear through the phone that I'm cutting through this shoe.
Trust me right now, I'm cutting right through a phone book.
Ooh.
Easy.
See, that would be pretty good, too.
I'm throwing fruit up product. In the air and cutting right through them like it's Fruit Ninja right now.
Very topical right now, in this year. Cleaning products, exercise equipment.
Or exercise programs, like P90X.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's, like, jewelry and stuff on QVC, which I think is kind of equivalent in a way.
I think so, but that's the one where it's just like the entire channel is just here's things you can buy, right? Yeah, I don't think I ever spent any time on that. That was very much like old person who's retired coded, right?
Yeah, I think I even saw like a John Oliver about how like pernicious that is, where it's like the prices go up around the time when elderly people get their social security check. The prices would like skyrocket that weekend.
Dang.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to another media roundup. I watched The Beekeeper talking about scamming old people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Started some internal conflict with that one.
Because you're pro-scamming old people.
No. Because my review of the movie was not positive.
Oh, you mean internal conflict to the friend group? I thought you meant within you were like, I don't know how to feel about this.
The thing about this movie is it's very morally ambiguous. If there's anything I have to say about The Beekeeper, that's probably
you're
what it
like,
is.
I kind of like Jason Statham, but I do think scamming old people is good, so I don't know how to feel about
what he's
doing.
They're making some good points. Yeah. They're very complex characters in this. That's the thing about it.
Oh, how about this one? Remember Flex Seal, where that was also
With the boat
compelling. Yeah. There would just be a bunch of things leaking, and he would just slap some goop on it, and he'd be like, "Look, it's closed now." I was like, "That's incredible." I don't know when I would ever need that as a child, but I want it.
The demonstrations are always the most interesting part, because like I think that's some people's jobs, right? Is they like work for a company, they go to like expos, and they do stupid little demonstrations of their product to show that it works or whatever, right?
George Foreman grills.
Oh, I guess I forgot about that. I think those were before our time, right?
But there was equivalent. There was always like little grills or like heat up products where they'd be like, look, you can cook a whole family's dinner. And then on top, you can make this. It'd be like, it'd have like 10 heating elements on it. And it'd be like, look at how many things you could make so quickly.
Well, the thing about the George Foreman grill is that was very like diet culture of the time, that like the whole thing was that all the fat spills out of the cooking thing, right?
I didn't realize that was part of the selling point. I thought it just was
easy
cleanup.
It was
the oil won't.
Well, it was nonstick where you didn't have to use as much oil, and then any grease in your food would fall off into like the little catch tray at the bottom. I think my neighbors had one.
Like, as far as flap chops go, I do basically have one. I mean, I have the equivalent product you just buy from Target.
You have one of those dicers?
Yeah, I have like a dicer that you just press a bunch of times. It really is very good for onions. That's basically when I pull it out.
Yeah, I mean, when I was making food with my mom for Doralee's graduation party, she didn't like how fine of a dice I was doing on an onion, and so she made me switch to using one of the choppers that the person who was hosting us had, which I was very offended by, because I'm very much one of those like, hey, if you have good knife skills, you don't need one of these things. But my mom was like, no, I think we want a finer dice on this.
I think if you don't want to pull out a food processor, but you just want to get like a couple things like that for like a salsa or something, I think it's a nice in between.
That is what I was making.
Yeah,
just making some pico de gallo. But I grew up a big fan of Good Eats and Alton Brown, and his main philosophy is no unitaskers, so I've always been like a...
I don't think that's a unitasker. You can chop a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah, I guess for that, I've already made the main argument, which is like, if you have a good knife and you have good knife skills, you don't really need it. But then, before anyone comes for me, I understand some people have different abilities, some people are disabled in certain ways, so I want to go ahead and say I don't judge people for using it, I just don't personally.
Like, going back to the toys thing, I feel like maybe more art toys. Like, I remember there was, like, tie-dye kits, or, like, there'd be, like, a little airbrushing kit, or there'd be, like, a bead kit where you can make art and bake it, and, you know, then it comes out as, like, one solid, like, bead artwork.
I don't remember as much of that, but I don't know, maybe that was on different channels. I think the one kid one that I remember that might just be a commercial and not an infomercial, but, the pump action fishing pole, where because you're a kid, you're not strong enough to cast it very far. So instead, you use a pump action gun fishing pole that shoots out your line into the lake.
That type of stuff, yeah. It's so compelling when you're a kid. You're like, I do need that.
That's a really smart idea.
I don't fish, but I would start fishing. Obviously, I'd become a master fisherman if I had that.
I knew a kid at summer camp who brought one of those with him and showed me how to use it. It was cool. Were those like crunch roller things? Were those as seen on TV? You know, like the wheel that you use to work out your abs, like that everybody in the 90s had, where you it's got like two handles and a wheel and you use it to like do little exercises on the ground. I feel like there's a lot more untapped exercise equipment that I'm not thinking of besides the shake weight.
You know what I'm thinking of now, and it's, I guess, tangential, not as seen on TV, but when those people would come to our school
keep it open.
And be like, oh, if you sell this many whatever from like our little product catalog, here's the toys you could get. They would make the toys seem so cool in like a similar way, like the moon shoes and the robot.
Yeah, there was the little monkey with two little pouches in his hand that you could use as a slingshot.
Yeah.
And if you sold enough, you not only got one, you also got the chance to try and shoot your monkey into a garbage can for an extra prize.
Or you would get a chance to go really into one of those money wind machines with another prize.
Yeah, I think I at least saw one kid in middle school actually do that. Yeah.
I've never gotten there was to always go the... in one of those, even when it's like, just let me go in with play money. Come on, I want to see.
Do you have your strategy planned?
Yeah, let me get some Monopoly money in there. I just want to know if I could grab it.
Yeah, I just want to... I'm definitely need to practice. I'm going to do a few simulations first, but... yeah, like the way that went, it was always... It's kind of like Boy Scouts, I guess, or something like that, or Girl Scouts, where it's like... The one person in your class whose parents worked an office job where they could just go around and bother everybody to buy one or whatever.
You always imagine yourself as a kid hustling and getting it done, and then it's like, you're obviously not going to. That's
Yeah. That's crazy they let people do that. Do they still do that in schools?
They shouldn't.
Absolutely not. I'm surprised. I think I have a video in my watch later that's all about like the company that does that, yeah.
Mm.
Or that did that, hopefully. I don't know if they still do. Do you remember the year at Lake Murray Elementary where the top prize, if you sold enough, and I do not know how much, what ungodly amount you had to sell to get it, but it was a jukebox.
Oh, I do not.
You'd get a full-ass jukebox, which is insane. Do you think if they were doing it now, the top prize would be like a vending machine of vapes? Like they just got at Art Bar? You get one of those for your own house? Man, that's crazy.
I imagine now it would be like, I guess it would just be like, it's so easy now. It'd be like an iPod, right? Or I guess iPods aren't a thing anymore, but it would be something like that, like a tablet. You'd probably get like an off-brand Microsoft tablet or Android tablet.
Grassing on TV?
No, I meant like as the top prize.
Oh,
or maybe it would
even be like
an iPad as the top prize, something like that a kid would want.
Yeah, they'd probably give you a skibbity toilet.
They would let you be featured in the next skibbity toilet.
Ooh, yeah.
It'd be your face in the toilet.
Did you see that South Park just did another one of those fan entry to be animated in the show contests, and the winners just came out, and would you believe it's two white guys who look like they'd definitely be really into South Park?
I like how we're taking shots at them as if we're not really into South Park. I guess we don't watch the new seasons, but...
Yeah, what was the last episode you watched? I think Nicole's watched more recently than I have.
All right, do you want to get into my column? You know, I thought we'd have a lot more to say about this, but it really, like, even as we started talking about it...
None of this is really jogging my memory as much as I thought.
Yeah, I thought
it would
jog my memory, but I guess it was only a couple big ones.
I'm thinking of, like, because they had a whole store for it. There had to be a whole bunch of them. Like, you see the stuff with the sticker on it. Oh, you didn't talk about the pet egg.
Oh, yeah, the nasty one.
Yeah. I mean, I have a pumice stone now. I think that's basically doing the same thing. Yeah, and, like, there are certain things, like, I don't know if they actually were as seen on TV, but it feels like they were, like, the Scrub Daddy. Is that not something that, like, is that a Shark Tank thing, or is that, like, a...
Yeah.
Is that orphanages getting replaced by the foster system, where, like, now you just go to Shark Tank, you don't do an as seen on TV, or they're still...
Well, I'll give you a hint. My column is about TikTok products, which I think now if you have, like, a product like that, you advertise it on TikTok, and you pay influencers to be like, this is awesome. Like Pink Sauce. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That got a bunch of media coverage.
I saw it at Walmart.
They were, before it became a Walmart product, the person who invented it was shipping it out without like any sort of like food
product
safety.
Control. Yeah.
So, but they were shipping it out in like the heat. They were just shipping it to people's doors without any sort
of.
Yeah,
I remember that.
But hey, they got their shit together and they got it into Walmart. So there you go.
Yeah. You can tell Paul is not a libertarian. He wants big government in his pink sauce.
I was going to say, is the pink sauce that's in Walmart actually, like, owned by the person who first...
It's branded,
like,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't know by if it was, person, like, yeah. I don't know, a thing where nobody had copyrighted the name, so somebody else just made it.
I mean, I don't fully remember, but it was just, like, dragon fruit, or what was it that was...
I think that's what gave it the color, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it for? I don't think I actually looked into it. Is it for like dip and
fries? It's for everything. Fried chicken, fries, fried catfish, fried okra, fried mushrooms, fried pickles.
If it's not gravy, I don't think I usually want the sauce on my fried chicken. I'm not like, let me put barbecue sauce or ketchup on my fried chicken. I kind of want it either plain or with gravy.
You don't like a vinegary hot sauce?
That doesn't sound bad, but I don't actually, like, no, that's not a go-to.
All right, I feel you.
Do you? You put sauces on fried chicken?
Well, I don't eat it with gravy. I haven't been to Jollibee, so I don't know who else usually, I guess like a Cracker Barrel type thing. No, I usually eat it plain.
There's a soul food place around here I've been going to, and I ask them for gravy on top of the fried chicken.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Oh, that's why I guess that
I guess
came
KFC.
To mind.
KFC would be the premier example of that, now that I think about it. Well, then, if you're going to KFC, you got to do the dip in the mashed potatoes and gravy. And you got a stew going right there. Ooh, boy.
I do actually order the mashed potato and gravy a lot from Chicken Spots. Yeah.
Although, yeah, they changed the fries at KFC. Man, I miss those wedges.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, I saw Casey and Drake over the weekend. I should have added that in my weekend roundup. Oh, that was really fun.
Yeah.
I was just thinking because we got potato wedges at the breakfast place we went to.
That's it. Food's all about memory and connection. Isn't that beautiful?
I guess they were home fries, but yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I feel you.
All right. You want to get into my column?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get some specific advice for people.
Okay, this is Care and Feeding. It's Doyan Richards, who I think is usually the person we run into writing for Care and Feeding. We let our 11-year-old watch TikTok. Now her Christmas list has taken a wild turn.
Ooh.
How do I find a happy balance between not wanting to deprive my 11-year-old daughter, Katie, of experiences her other friends live with, but also not wanting to indulge? For instance, a few months ago, my husband and I caved and let Katie watch TikTok because she was constantly complaining her friends watch it and talk about videos and she feels left out. She has to watch while she's in the same room as us, though, and we set a time limit. Now for Christmas, she's asking for skincare products from a pretty expensive beauty brand because she sees it on TikTok and a couple of her friends have it. Say what? She's 11. My husband proposed we get the products for her for Christmas, but make it clear that throughout the year we won't be indulging in these things. But while we can afford it, it kills me to spend that money on a completely unnecessary, overpriced product. She does get an allowance for chores, but we also teach her to save and spend wisely. I particularly was really bad at saving when I was younger, and up until my early 30s, spent way too much money on trendy products, spontaneous purchases, and I don't want her to fall into that trap. I want her to be able to think responsibly. Do you really need the $85 face cream are less expensive options that are just as good? Not to mention, do you really need face cream beyond sunscreen, basic moisturizer at all when you're 11? Katie is not a complete follower. She can think independently of her friends, but I also understand what it's like to be a preteen girl trying to figure out your place in life, which is exacerbated tenfold from when I was at that age due to social media and the internet. So I'm very torn about how to handle this. Any suggestions?
That's a real doozy.
Yeah, I don't think it's an easy one. My gut reaction is, yeah, you gotta let her get it so she, like, if you don't let them indulge a little, you have to let them learn that this stuff isn't that great, and I think indulge a little.
Why is she so sure that that's the case?
Oh, that it's not a good skincare product?
Yeah.
That it won't change this 11-year-old girl's face?
It seems like she's equating trendiness with, like, it must be not good or worth it, which seems like a bit of an assumption. But no, she's right. It would be weird to have an 11-year-old daughter who's like American Psycho or whatever in her daily routine. Like, she probably doesn't need it. But yeah, she seems very sure about, like, oh, $80 on this product that I could get just as good for half the price. And it's like, do we know that? I mean, I guess also part of it is that, yeah, again, are we going to see any difference?
Woman, she does sort of know that, like, what's in these products and, like, what the active ingredient is. I don't know. But maybe she's wrong. Maybe she's just being an old-timer. I don't know.
Buy it once and then refill it with the cheaper face cream. Shout out to Justin's dad who taught me how to be rich.
That seems more like advice for the daughter later on if she's trying to impress her friends.
But that's part of it, right? But that was the other thing I noticed was that she was like, I was bad at spending and bought a lot of frivolous shit. And it's like, you're not going to let your daughter do that?
Oh, yeah, you got that.
You get to do that?
I think you have to put yourself, like, in the shoes of the kid.
Okay, yeah, let me do that. Ouchie, these are too small. We've done that exact bit already so many times.
When you're a kid, it feels important. And it's like, I'm trying to, you know, the equivalent for us would like be video games, I guess, as boys.
No, there was I got pressured into getting Toms because everyone had Toms.
Oh, okay. And did you realize that they were bullshit shoes that broke down in water immediately and learn to like quality products instead?
Kinda, yeah. I don't know if that was my exact awakening, but that was, yeah. Well, but also that was part of the style, is like it was cool to have Toms with a big hole in them or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot serfdom got big when we were in high school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are the other ones that
potato sacks?
Yeah, yeah, wearing? Yeah. The barrels. What other things did it feel like? Crocs.
Okay, so just holes and shoes were what
holes
you were
and
into.
Shoes, I think. Although Crocs was that's a very visceral one for me because that's one where I remember getting the knockoff brand.
Oh.
We couldn't afford Crocs. They were insanely expensive when
Crocs.
They were insanely expensive when they first came out. Like a new pair of Crocs was like $70.
Were they really? I did not remember that. That's crazy. Don't they sell them for like $20 now at Walmart?
Knockoff versions probably, but I mean, I think my brother's into Crocs. So when we were in Florida, everyone in the family got Crocs and they're still like, they go anywhere from like 60 to 130, 40. It's like.
And you were so pissed. You were like, this leaves me no money to buy giblets with. And what's the point of Crocs without giblets?
Well, I did get a pair without holes in it. I got a pair of slipper Crocs with no holes, so I couldn't put any giblets in them. Yeah, so I guess it was just holy shoes that I was worried about keeping up with everybody on. Yours was video games. Was it like having the right system, or what do you mean?
Yeah, it's just like, I guess I'm thinking of stuff that I wanted to spend money on, and my parents were probably like, is one video game not the same as the last? Why do you need a new video game this month?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of other things I wanted at that age. 11.
At 11?
Yeah, that's like a little bit past wanting toys, so you are starting to want like more expensive things that aren't
I wanted like a Hitachi wand.
You're back, you had a lot of...
Yeah.
You had a lot of knots.
A lot of knots in there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm having a hard time thinking about what the exact equivalent of this is, but, also a face cream isn't something that you use at school, right? So, like, they're not, it's not like her friends are seeing her. It really seems
sleep
more internal.
Overs, hang out.
I guess so. This one seems more like an internal FOMO than anything else.
It is funny to try to convince a kid, like, you have the skin of a child. You really, you don't need to improve it. You're fine. If anything, yeah, you're going to need, like, anti-acne cream, not face cream.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you don't let them waste their money, like, nothing she gets is going to be good or important at this age. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the alternative that would be a great use? I guess it is really expensive, so maybe you could just be like, okay, but, like, this is how much we spend on you at Christmas. So, like, if you want it to only be, like, three things, then one of those things can be an $80 face cream. But,
yeah,
like, think about the alternative things you could get for 80. But if she still wants the face cream, I think indulge her, right?
There you go. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they're saying. They seem like sensible parents. I mean, the whole thing about she's allowed to watch TikTok, but only in the same room as us. I mean, I'm never going to be a parent, fingers crossed, so I don't have to think about these things, but it seems like when you hear things like that, you're like, that seems like a sensible parent thing, I think.
Adrian, I have some bad news for you. Remember 8 months ago?
Yeah, when I
that
fucked
you. That woman
you
hooked up with? When you fucked me?
Yeah.
I pull a little baby out from left of screen.
Wait, how do I prove that it's mine? Prove that it's mine.
It looks exactly like you. Shrunk down.
The baby's just like,
big fact, no cap. Big fact, no cap.
You're like, oh god, that is mine.
It says something rude to me and you're like, okay, that is mine.
And the baby comes out and it's just immediately just like, shabba dabba dee, shabba dabba doo, shabba dabba dee. What was the other thing I was going to say? I don't know. You can't let your kid get trapped into the trying to get everything that their friends get. I don't know. There are lessons to be learned here. Give her a budget. You give her an allowance or whatever. You can make her pay for it herself.
I mean, don't uber splurge on her because she has finer taste and get her everything expensive she wants. But, like, make it obvious that if she wants more expensive things, then she gets less of those, but she can still choose what she wants. I think you should let a kid choose what they want. They should be able to come into their own personality, right?
Oh, that sounds very much like something like a child psychologist would say, is that like choice is very important in instilling a sense of what's the word, efficacy? Is that the MO of TikTok usually, that they're promoting expensive brands? Or
there's paid promotions, right? You know what you gotta do is whatever YouTube or whatever TikTok account she's on, is you gotta get the algorithm right for her. You gotta go watch a bunch of things.
Get her into the manosphere, that way she's not worried about makeup.
You gotta find the TikTokers that peddle like, oh, these are the really good dupes from the Target aisle that are just as good as these brands. Like, there's definitely like a thrifty TikTokers.
There's definitely a TikToker who does DIY. Here's how to make your own face cream.
Well, that's problematic in a different way. She's gonna end up putting like something way too acidic on her face and giving herself like burns.
But TikTok taught me.
TikTok taught me.
Are they still doing that campaign, or was that like years old at this point?
Oh, is that a campaign?
Yeah, that was one of their ad campaigns, was like all the instructional content on TikTok. TikTok taught me.
You know, TikTok is apparently, as part of like the Trump keeping it in America plan, the people he's selling it to, TikTok's going to move to like an America-only app. Like, we're going to move to having our own version of TikTok.
Oh, we have separated. Like the way that Chinese people have their own Facebook or whatever, we're going to have our own TikTok. Yeah. That's cool.
We're doing an American Great Firewall.
Hey, nice. Keep it in the family.
Keep it in the family. I like it. She's going to want an American flag in a year.
True. True, true, true.
She's going to be like, Mom and Dad, there's this really cool red hat.
Yeah.
I really want a Trump phone, Mom and Dad. Everybody on TikTok's talking about it.
I need some Trump steaks. I need a Trump phone. And I want to buy some federally owned land that's now open to the public. I feel like... Yeah, I don't know.
Would I be this positive about letting a kid make their own choice if there was a child who was like, there's an $80 meme coin, Mom and Dad, and that's all I want for Christmas? I guess I would let them get it. That would feel like I really want to tell them to stop being a dumbass, but hey.
I guess you can kind of do both. I don't know. I don't know. I guess when I was thinking about whether or not TikTok only advertises convenient or expensive, I guess it's just probably a spectrum like YouTube, but we've talked about this before, but, you know, sometimes you get a YouTube ad that's like, here are these headphones, they're pretty good, and they're a little bit cheaper than other brands, and then the other ones, they're like, here's this meat subscription box for $200 a month, and it's like, who's getting that? But yeah, I don't know. Should we bring in the feminist angle about letting her get into beauty products this early on?
Seems like a real, what would you call it, like, perfect storm of like, there's multiple reasons, like, yes, it's too expensive and not worth it, also should a child be into this, also I don't know, it does seem like, I see why the parents are a little bit confused.
Should you just become Amish and go live out in the country?
I think it's a fair enough, like, culture's getting weird, it's kind of hard to know how to handle these sorts of new issues.
Mm-hmm. Get her into the manosphere, get her into Liver King.
That'd be so disgusting. Then you're gonna get the frozen liver he ships to your house.
Is he selling that?
Have you seen? Yeah. He sold his own liver. But have you seen him recently? He's going insane.
Oh, I know that he's beefing with Joe Rogan.
Have you seen the videos of him beefing with Joe Rogan?
No.
Dude, he looks like he's going mad. And he's just like he's like, Joe Rogan, I'll fly out to you right now. He looks so scary. And it's just like the way he's talking seems like a person like in psychosis. It's really intense.
That's what the liver does to you, baby.
He always used to have like this kind of calm, big, scary guy energy. But now he has a scary, big, scary guy energy.
Well, you can't go full scary guy if you're a big guy.
All right. Do we want to hear the professional's answer? This is a common issue for a lot of parents nowadays, and as a dad with 12 and 10-year-old girls, I feel your pain. I know that it seems wasteful to spend that kind of money on skincare products for a preteen, but I don't think it's a big deal, since you can afford it, and it's only for a special occasion, Christmas. If she comes to you every Friday night to go to Sephora, then you'll have a problem on your hands, but I'm sure you won't let that fly. I know you're writing in because you want advice, but I think you're handling this perfectly right now. You're monitoring her social media usage. You've told her that buying these products won't be a regular thing. You're teaching her the importance of saving and spending wisely. What else can you ask for? Raising kids in the social media age isn't easy, but you're crushing it, Mama. As long as she doesn't cross the boundaries you set for her, everything will be just fine.
Did you ever watch Wife Swap when you were younger?
Yes.
Do you remember the episode where it's the, I mean, it's crazy because it's like the families that switch are like complete opposites, in this episode, but one of the extremes.
Oh, that wasn't the common conceit of it.
Shout out
was
to.
We're going to put a clean family with a dirty family or a Mexican family with a white family. Those were also considered opposites.
And those were correlated? That's the same thing.
It was funny when it's like either they had the opposite personalities or one of them was a little foreign.
Yeah. Shout out to Joel McHale. That was his thing about Wife Swap on the Soup. He's always be like, they're complete opposites. But one of the families really spoiled their daughter to the point where they had a Christmas tree year round and they had a wrapped present for her every single morning. Like, even if it was just like a hat or something, they had something for her to unwrap every single morning as a gift.
Doesn't that really ruin Christmas?
It's Christmas
like
all the time.
The opposite of spoiling them.
You think you're teaching them like a deep, like philosophical lesson about how you can't have joy without pain, or what do you think they're doing
to
this
child?
Eventually,
that ruins Christmas. Next Christmas, how are they going to enjoy it?
I mean, it's basically like
that seems like torture.
Okay, at most, it's like what, triple Hanukkah? How many days are they doing gifts for Hanukkah?
I don't know, man. That seems cruel.
You think this is an episode of Black Mirror where the premise is you get a present every day and it makes you go crazy?
I told you about the one flight I was on where the parent had takeoff and mid-flight presents, and I really appreciated it. It was a very well-behaved child, and I think giving them a coloring book and something else halfway through the flight was an awesome idea.
Was it like the coloring book was the takeoff one, but they didn't get the crayons until halfway through?
Oh, yeah. It was a real two marshmallows sort of situation. They had to learn to wait. It was also a good kid. I doubt they would have made a scene anyway, but I appreciated it.
Yeah, any other ideas about the answer?
No, I thought it was a good answer. I had all the same feelings. Like,
good
I
answer.
See why this is concerning and odd, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things where, okay, like a soda, right? Like something where, like, if you're going to buy it every week, obviously it makes a difference if you buy the expensive versus the cheap. But it is an affordable luxury every once in a while to be like, oh, I'm going to get the craft soda or whatever. It feels more like that than video games than not. It feels more like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Actually, $85 for skin cream does sound insane. Maybe it's less like a splurge that's less meaningful like that, but I don't know. It does seem like a lot. But it seems workable. It's not the craziest thing you should get into.
Also, I mean, it's one of those things, maybe it's more like a boy who wants, I didn't really like, you know, luxury shoes as a kid, but maybe it's like a boy who wants Jordans, you know? It's like, yes, any shoe is the same as a Jordan, but having the Jordan matters to the kid, right? Because they want to feel like they're in on it.
Got my fake Adidas on, whiting out the fourth stripe.
And some kids get that, and then they're like, oh yeah, it's not that different than other shoes. It felt cool to have the Jordans. And some kids, I guess, become sneakerheads and waste their money the rest of their lives. But I don't know. I think you got to let them try it if that's what they want to try to get into. It's like a hobby. It's an interest for a child.
Yeah.
Cool. If you have the money, like this person said, if you don't have the means, then it's a whole different equation.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to get into my call?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So I had a little bit of trouble finding a column, but I think this is more or less on theme. This is from Lifehacker. I think we've maybe brought them in once before. This is from David Murphy, January 11th, 2019. Why does my fiancé see ads for things I've shopped for? So here we go. Lately, I've been noticing that my fiancé is getting targeted ads on her phone that are based on my browsing habits. For example, when I was looking at wedding rings a couple months ago on my laptop...
Fleshlight.
When I was looking at wedding rings a couple months ago on my laptop, she started seeing ads for the sites I visited on her Facebook and Instagram. Lately, I've been researching cars because I'm going to need a new one of those soon. And sure enough, she has started seeing car ads on her social media now. I deleted my Facebook and Instagram accounts a couple years ago, and I've tried to turn off every form of targeted advertising through Google. This feels like a big invasion of my privacy and really bothers me. Further, I'm worried at some point I might be shopping for a present for her, and Facebook will start showing her ads
for my gift and ruin the surprise. Not that you're going to be shopping for a replacement toupee and that's how she learns you've been bald this whole
time. Is there any way I can make my browsing data private? If I'm going to get targeted ads, I at least want them to be directed to my laptop and my phone and not every device using our Wi-Fi router. I've considered starting to just permanently browse in incognito mode, but that seems like an extreme solution.
Well, if the issue is that it's basing it off your IP address, then that wouldn't help.
Oh, now you're getting all technical.
Have I ever
told you about the fact that my little undergrad watches YouTube without an account?
Psychotic.
Yeah, that's what I said, but he was like, "No, I don't want YouTube learning or assuming anything about me." So I only watch default YouTube whatever's on there. And I'm like, that is an insane way to live.
At this point, if you're not paying for YouTube Premium, you're a weirdo.
Mm-hmm. You're not. Ben is.
Yeah, well, you know. If you don't have access to YouTube Premium, you're a weirdo. You know, he tells me all the time that multiple people in his family or like Kate or stuff will try to be like, you have YouTube Premium, can I get on? And he's like, I can't boot Paul off, sorry.
Damn, that's a real one.
He's built in. It is one of the nicest things anybody's ever done for me because we don't live together anymore.
It's not a cheap subscription.
Yeah.
But in terms of actually addressing the question, you said... it's not your Wi-Fi router, it's your IP address, what were you saying?
Well, that would be your router. I guess that was just his theory, was because he doesn't have these accounts, how else would it be, like, correlating his identity to her?
I mean, I feel like this is a very common experience, right? Everyone's had that thing of being like, didn't we talk about something and now I'm getting ads for it? That's, what's going on?
But usually it's because there's some connection between, like, accounts, like, oh, we're friends on, you know, or, like, it knows we watch similar YouTube content, or because we're connected on some account. He's saying he doesn't have any of that, so it must be the IP address that they're correlating it to.
I guess so, yeah. I don't know. I remember when I learned the explanation for Facebook, which was like, why is it when I get someone's number, Facebook starts recommending me them, and it's like, oh, well, because it's based on the fact that you have their number.
Yeah, this is probably just an account he doesn't realize is connected. Like, even if he doesn't have a Facebook, does he have a WhatsApp to message people? That's owned by Meta. Mm. That's also correlating you to.
Damn, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things he might not think are, like, connected accounts, but it's like, if you message this person often on anything other than just pure text message, they probably know you two know each other.
And you're saying what he's really worried about is when he goes dildo shopping.
Yeah, because it's going to ruin the present.
So, what is his actual question? Is there any way I can make my browsing data private?
Yeah, get a VPN. A lot of YouTubers will give you a 20% off code or whatever for Shark VPN.
And that works?
No, because you still have, like, your physical, like, I mean, it still knows your phone if you have your cookies, so you'd have to go VPN and incognito mode, and then I think you'd kind of get around this.
Yeah, do you know any people who are kind of advocates for, like, I like the fact that my phone knows everything about me, I like that they're sending me good ads that I actually care about?
No, I don't.
Really? I feel like I've heard that opinion expressed by somebody in my life, and I can't remember who. Like, the contrarian take of, like, I like that my phone knows me.
No, I tried to turn that stuff off. I don't really like it.
Yeah, what is that really fuck shit where it's, you download a new app, and you can ask it not to track you? Like, the option isn't,
oh, yeah,
don't allow app to track me. It's ask the app, putty please, don't track me. I remember the first time I saw that, and I was like, that's insanity.
The language is very funny, huh? Politely ask.
And then they're always talking about cookies making me hungry. I'm like, yeah, I'll take some cookies. They were offering me a glass of milk. How are we doing, folks?
Folks!
Do you have a VPN?
Yeah.
Do you recommend it? Should I get one? So I can start watching Netflix in other countries?
I don't think that works anymore, now that you can't watch...
Did they fix that?
Yeah, because you can't even share accounts, so it's like if it senses you're far away from where you are. You can put your Netflix, I think, on travel mode, but if it senses you're in a new location, I think you do have to like jump through some hoop.
I feel like even now YouTubers are still advertising it with that in mind, but maybe not. When you... now I have like three different things in my mind. How careful were you about pirating when you used to do that in like high school?
Back then, not very careful. I think I had like a Chrome plugin at one point that was like a free VPN, But then I read somewhere that, like, the way it worked was it also used your node as somebody else's VPN, and they were like, you shouldn't download that. Like, if somebody else does something nefarious,
it can get you mixed up in some...
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I had a... Hunter was a little bit more tech-savvy than I was, so he would always tell me, like, oh, use this website because it's, like, untracked searching, so use that to search for your pirating, and then use this to, like, cover up your pirating. And I was always like, I don't know. The worst I've heard is people getting letters of warning, and if that happens, then maybe I'll change my behavior, but...
Yeah, I think we were a little past the era in the 2000s where they would actually sue people, which they did do a couple times, like, ruin a grandma's life because her grandson, like, downloaded Metallica's discography.
Yeah.
By the time we were in high school, you would just get the angry ISP letters.
Mm-hmm. Which I never got.
Yeah. Well, you were watching that real underground deep shit. They weren't even tracking that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was if you downloaded the new Iron Man that they would come
for
you.
Yeah. Did you ever have those stories that seemed kind of fake where someone was like, yeah, I was just trying to download Finding Nemo and it ended up being like a porn thing or something. I ended up pirating the wrong thing. And I was like, that doesn't seem like a true thing.
I didn't use LimeWire a lot, but I assumed that was true. It seemed like a LimeWire thing that people said that happened on.
Maybe. Yeah. I think that kid was just a little freak.
Well, me and you had this experience together where we were going on one of those shady streaming sites. And we ended up downloading the movie in the wrong language.
Yeah.
What movie were we trying to watch together?
It might have been My Date with the President's Daughter, but it might have been something else. Yeah. That's definitely happened before.
Which, like, why'd they even translate that to Romanian? How many Romanians are trying to watch that don't know English?
I don't know. They're big on the DCOMs there. I mean, I guess I still technically do that a little bit. The way that I've been watching the Club World Cup has been through pirating, but I don't think that really anyone cares about that.
What is that like nowadays? Because I remember for the longest time there was, like, Reddits that would tell you, like, all the pirate streams, but didn't they crack down on that? How do you find a pirate stream of a live sporting event now?
So back in the good days, there was r/soccer streams. r/soccer streams ended up moving to its own independent website. And now I think it's either the evolved version of that or it's just another website. I think it's called like Soccer 100, but they always have the games. There's like 9 or 10 streaming options, and it usually takes like 1 or 2 for you to get one that works. And it's like not that bad. But anyways, have we answered any of the questions that this guy's asked? What were the other things I was thinking of there's a branching off point where I had like 5 different thoughts.
Third question was, how to stop tracking. I think you got to throw off the algorithm so she never believes that anything she sees is an ad, like, that's from you. You got to start looking for really weird, random stuff. So she's like, all these ads are just completely random.
For 30 minutes every night, you just look up random shit. It seems like the wedding ring is already the worst case scenario for something for her to find out about. Like, that you already had, like, the worst version of this happen, but it also doesn't seem like he was that scarred by it.
I guess, are these that targeted, or is she just getting, like, ads for like Jay's Jewelers? Like, is it specifically like wedding ring? I guess.
Well,
maybe.
are we gonna go full skeptic paranormal investigator and be like, well, at a certain point, if you're thinking about proposing and you guys have maybe talked about it, what's to say that she's not also looking at like wedding rings or whatever?
Well, she's googling how to break up with my boyfriend, so
right. She's looking up, am I the asshole? No, my boyfriend is the subreddit.
Buy a burner phone, go use McDonald's Wi-Fi to search for wedding rings.
No, go full Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec when he got flanderized and like start trying to live out in the woods.
But don't you want that fun little interaction with the person at the jewelry store? Shouldn't you be shopping for wedding rings in person anyway?
You know, in a certain way, I feel like we gave equally extreme advice. Somehow it feels like being like, just go to a local shop and talk to a guy, feels like as much of like a, why would I ever do that, as go live in the woods alone forever.
When you're shopping for a wedding ring in person, don't they make you feel like it's a really big deal and they show you all the options and they really
Nah, they try and get one over on you. They're always trying to upsell you. Like, what are you, a broke boy? You're not gonna get, this is supposed to be 3 months salary. This is 3 months salary. You okay?
So you think you should get 2 rings?
You need a job? She's got 10 fingers.
Do you understand the difference between an engagement ring and a wedding ring? Because I don't think I really
understood. I was just about to ask that. Engagement rings people don't wear for the rest of their lives, right? You have like a wedding band that you wear. But the engagement ring, what do you do with it once you're not engaged anymore and you switch to the wedding ring?
You keep it around so you can dramatically throw it into the river when things go bad. That's what you leave it for.
Yeah.
And for a man, is it one ring? It's like you're, well, I guess you don't get an engagement ring. You just get the wedding band on the wedding day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you ever thought when you were single about getting one just to attract people?
No, I'm not living in that sort of sitcom mindset.
Let me tell you, buddy, 60% of the time, it works every time.
Oh, you've done it. It works.
You think I bought a wedding ring? All right. Is there any other actionable advice that we should give this guy?
Oh, this is as seen on TV, but as seen on my browsing history ad recommendations.
Yeah, yeah.
Did this person spell fiance right? Did they put the two E's?
No, but they did the accent.
Ooh.
Is that not right?
I thought it was like one of those French words where it's a fiance with one E if it's a man, two E's if it's a woman.
Maybe, but that would mean that the wife was the one who was looking for wedding rings.
Yeah, I guess I was being kind of gender normative there, assuming that it was a man shopping for a woman. Heteronormative too. I guess it could be two men.
Damn, that's true. Could be two dudes. All right, let's read this answer. Okay, not too long. There's just a bunch of like stuff in between. I can't really tell. All right, this is a fun one. The question, that is. The issue isn't fun for you, John, nor anyone who has to deal with the ever-present problem of advertising and tracking around the web. First, to answer your question, I'm going to start with the obvious comment. If you've used your fiance's phone... Oh, okay, so they did the two E's. So they corrected the... they very subtly corrected the question asker. If you've used your fiance's phone or computer to do any browsing for anything, then there's a chance that will show up in her advertising around the web. It doesn't take very much, I feel. I often notice that a site or a series of products I looked at a day before suddenly appear all over the damn place when I'm on Lifehacker. And I'm on Lifehacker a lot. Assuming you've kept your devices separate from one another, it's also possible that various advertising trackers or the services you use are taking note of your location and or IP address. For example, any of the devices that use the same external IP address, like everything on your router's Wi-Fi connection, for example, will appear to come from the same household. And it's that household that an advertiser will target, under the false assumption that it's you with a bunch of devices rather than a bunch of people using different devices. You probably care less about why this tracking is happening to you and more about how you might be able to stop it. First, I'd incorporate some browser extensions that will automatically disable most advertising tracking via annoying cookies while you browse the web. uBlock Origin comes to mind, as does Privacy Badger. Oh, I think I actually have uBlock on my Google Chrome. Use those two and you should be pretty well protected. Second, you could try turning on any do not track settings in your browser might have. Websites and advertisers don't have to obey this, but it doesn't hurt. You can also visit the Digital Advertising Alliance and Network Advertising Initiative and opt out of a bunch of trackers. Again, I'm not sure how comprehensive this will be. I cannot promise that which you browse for will never be accidentally advertised to those in your house, but every little bit helps. If you're determined to not have your secrets spilled to others, you can always try browsing in incognito mode, as you note. Or you could use a separate browser that has all cookies turned off, or deletes them every time you close the browser. Or a more privacy-centric browser like Firefox Focus or Epic Browser. You could also try going into various services, Google, Facebook, etc., and turning off any settings for personalized, interest-based, or location-based advertising. And don't forget to reset your advertising ID, an option buried within the Ads section of Android's Google Settings menu, or the Privacy section of iOS's Setting app. Perform these same steps on your fiance's devices, too, with her permission, of course. Or, you could just have her read this article. Together, you will hopefully get advertising and tracking under control as best as you can. But as you've seen, there's a lot you have to do to keep on top of these annoyances. Lifehacker readers, did I leave anything out, aside from more extreme measures like only using Tor to browse the web, or switching on your VPN whenever you use your smartphone, etc.? Let me know in the comments. Paul, how good was that advice? And also, I'm going to look through the comments really quick. I do kind of agree with the first commenter where I don't know why VPN was put in the extreme category, but you said that it costs a lot.
Yeah, I think for like a good one, it's going to cost you like close to $100 a year.
Damn. What are your targeted ads that you get?
Really don't feel like I get that many.
Mm.
The only time that's really obvious is like right after I was shopping for something, I'll get a targeted ad. But then it's like it feels like it disappears in like a day or two. It never feels like it really follows me around as some sort of like long-term obsession with getting me to buy something.
I've really engaged with it, so I think that's why it stuck around. But my last big purchase was soccer jerseys, and now my Facebook ads are all different websites for getting soccer jerseys.
I think Facebook's a big one for those like really targeted ads, and I don't do Facebook, so
Yeah, and it is that annoying thing where, like, just lingering on an ad is they'll be like, oh, he loves this shit.
Oh, yeah. Twitter recently stopped doing ads in a way where it was like, it used to always do ads that were, like, locked to the account of the advertiser. So if you didn't like an ad, you could just block the account. But they recently stopped doing that. And so now I got, like, a ad for some sort of, like, I don't know, like, toenail issue thing. And it's like, I went to block it because any ad with feet in it, I'm blocking. I do not want to see that shit. It's nasty.
Okay. But
I realized you couldn't block an account anymore. And because I'd clicked on it, it thinks I want to see it really badly.
Oh, okay.
So now it's, like, my only ad on Twitter, and it's really annoying me.
So you're saying that somehow X is getting worse under the leadership of Elon Musk?
You wouldn't believe it, but yes.
Damn, damn, damn.
Otherwise, I think my bigger problem with this is the algorithm stuff. It's usually like when YouTube or... Yeah, it's usually for me, it's like when YouTube or a streaming service doesn't know what type of stuff I like to watch. I get a little annoyed that it keeps advertising a certain video to me or something. And I'm like, why does it think I want to watch this annoying shit?
Yeah, but YouTube has a good curation system of being able to say, I don't want to watch this video. And it even has the option of letting you say, because I've already watched it versus I don't want this content. But I think this is another advice column where we brought someone in who actually had some good technical advice to offer. So I think it was probably better than our advice or whatever. Pretty similar to our advice. But
yeah, I don't think it was bad. I think, I don't know, like, how much effort do you really want to put into this unless it's wedding rings? Like you said, it seemed like the worst case scenario happened.
I like that he basically confirmed what I was saying before. He was being like, so you can change the setting if you want, but they don't have to follow the rules. And it's like, then what's the point of any of this?
I know. In the EU, they have better laws. A lot of the stuff that works for us is because the EU has insisted on passing some regulations. But I don't think they're getting in trouble in America for ignoring this stuff and tracking you as much as they want.
Yeah. Do you worry about it at all in any kind of, like, actual overall sense?
No. Do you?
No, it's not something I really care about that much. I mean, I don't put any of these measures in place, so.
I think what bothers me about it more than anything is how clunky every website is, because they're all built with, like, 1,000 trackers in them, and it feels like the internet could be so much faster. Anytime I open a site and it takes it 30 seconds to load up or something, it's obviously because they're running a billion scripts beforehand to try to track you or to serve you a specific ad. Things could be so much better.
Yeah, it's true. Better world's possible. Cool. All right, do you want to get into the third segue?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. This one only has 12. Is 12 a good one for this game?
Let's start. Let's see how long it takes.
All right. So Paul and I are going to introduce As Seen on TV products. And we're going to try and Price is Right. Or no, not Price is Right. Guess the price of the item. And then whoever is generally closer gets the point. We're going to start off with the most ridiculous As Seen on TV products from the 80s that somehow sold like crazy.
Do you want to share your screen or do you want to?
Yeah, sure. Hold up. And then I'll let you look up the prices on your end.
All right, cool.
All right. So we'll start off with one that I don't actually think is that wacky, and I'm kind of surprised they didn't catch on. Maybe because they just didn't work that well. But the clapper. Clap on, clap off. The clapper was supposed to be a revolutionary way to turn your lights on and off without getting up. Just clap your hands and the lights would magically respond. In reality, the clapper was hilariously unreliable, often triggered by loud noises like sneezes, dogs barking, or the TV itself. Okay, I can see where this went wrong. still, the catchy jingle, clap on, clap off, the clapper, was enough to make it a hit, even if it didn't always work.
This is one that I remember capturing me as a kid. I thought it would be cool to have a clapper in my room. Yeah.
I think there was also, like, some TV shows or something where sometimes the people had it.
Yeah. It would be, like, a Disney show, and it's, like, the kid with the really cool souped-up room would have that. Or it'd be a way to show you somebody was wealthy, that they would, like, clap their lights on and off.
I think my issue with this is, so we're doing the price of one clapper. This wasn't, like, something that came with, like, a whole house system for one for every room, or...
I'm not sure how easy it's going to be to find the original price, but I would say... Okay, I'll guess first this one. We'll flip off who guesses first. I'll do, this was $55 when it came out in 1980.
We might have to do the math on what an individual one costs, but I think an individual one costs $30.
So you think $10 in today's dollars. Okay. Ooh, this is, might not be easy to find the original prices for.
What's the price for it now?
I mean, there's like equivalent products now for $25.
For $25?
Yeah.
So then do we just want to do guessing the modern price then? Should that be the easier way to do this?
I guess that'd be the easier way to do it.
And I said 30, and the price is?
Oh, that's not fair. The today price, the technology's gotten so much cheaper.
To be fair, I wasn't really doing a conversion in my head. I kind of just said what I would pay for this.
I was doing the conversion in my head. I think this one's a good practice round.
Oh, okay. All right. Practice round, Okay. Number two. The titty bear. Do you know about this?
No.
Seen this? You heard about this? It's the seatbelt shoulder pad that some put too much trust in. So you like wrap it around your seatbelt and it makes it more comfortable. This product was a small plush bear that attached to your seatbelt to cushion your shoulder. Oh, people still have things like that. I think Dorley has a Kirby one. The infomercial showed people rubbing their sore collarbones and looking miserable until they clipped on the titty bear. That's a crazy name, and suddenly felt pure bliss. One of the best, worst infomercials in a long line of products. Despite its ridiculous name and the fact that a simple towel could do the same job, it actually sold well. The combination of a cute bear and the problem people didn't know that they had was apparently enough to make it a hit. Interesting. Yeah, that does scream problem that I don't think anyone has, but who knows?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it's also like a little bit of a, you know, it's aesthetic. You can't just price it at the price of anything that would go on the seatbelt.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so I'm going to go first on this one.
Yeah.
Assuming that these are still selling and you can find them listed somewhere and they're not vintage, they didn't stop making them, so now they're more expensive. I'm going to say $12.99.
Oh, I was going to say the same thing. Okay, I'll go a little cheaper then and I'll say $10.
Flat. All right, look it up, Jamie.
I don't want to Google titty bear. T-I-D-D-Y bear.
Oh, Izzy's going to be like, I wonder why I'm getting targeted ads.
Okay, there's still a website.
Nice.
They were featured on Ellen. Nice. You can get two for $9.95. So I was closer.
Damn. But they're more expensive if you buy them single. So
they don't have an option. So
okay. All right.
All right. Let's just go ahead and chalk that up as 1 point for Paul.
All right. Ginsu knives. The knives that could cut through anything. Infomercials in the 80s loved to exaggerate, and the Ginsu knife commercials were amongst the most over the top. These knives could allegedly slice through tin cans, cut through shoes, and still be sharp enough to cut a tomato paper thin. The commercial's dramatic demonstration made it seem like every household needed an industrial strength cutlery. In reality, Ginsu knives were just decent, cheap knives with a flashy ad campaign. But that voiceover. But wait, there's more. And the promise of extra knives for free. Oh, we didn't even talk about that. That was always... That drove me crazy as a kid. The thing where it's like, if you buy it now, we're going to give you two for the same price. And it's like, so then you can definitely just sell these cheaper, right? Like, it's definitely not worth the full price then, right?
No, it's because they have overstock at the... Adrian, you're getting a deal.
The only way that it made sense to me, if it was something like, you get the Nutribullet, but we're going to send you the mini travel bullet as a free thing. That's like, okay, yeah, that's something you include for free.
Oh, yeah, because the mini travel bullet is basically free to manufacture.
But the one where it's like, we'll just give you another. If you order it right now, we'll just give you another one. That always drove me crazy as a kid. Yeah, I think, I mean, part of this definitely has to do within the 1980s, Japanese things were considered like the coolest, most like, they're living in 20 years ahead of us, right?
What's funny to me about this is that it's supposed to be really sharp, but then it's serrated. Doesn't that kind of like defeat the point? It becomes a bread knife at a certain point.
I don't know if this is the most demonstrative picture, but yeah, the one that we're looking at not only has like a forked tip at the end, but is also serrated in a really weird way. I don't know.
I'm going to say this is nowadays $28.
For one chef's knife, Ginsu knife.
Yes, and if it comes with an extra free one, it's still going to be $28.
I want to say like 40, but at that point you would just buy an actually good chef's knife. But I'll go 40. I'll go a little higher.
Really? It has a plastic handle. I think anybody who'd pay 40 for a knife would know to avoid, I don't know, maybe.
Maybe. Check it out.
Get yours now. There's still a website, and it is $59.99 for a set of like six knives. Let's see if we can buy just one.
Whoa. I'm going for like a chef's knife, most expensive.
Oh, here we go. The 8-inch chef's knife is $29.99.
And what did you say?
Something close to that, right?
Well, I'm 10 away.
I think I was like 2 away.
Did you say 25? Like, you said 27. You said $27.99.
I think I said 28.
2 points for Paul. I guess Paul's such a consumer that he knows about all these things.
Adrian's coping. Take a shot.
No. Not being salty. All right. The Flow B, the vacuum haircut system. This is the first one that's completely new to me.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. Why? That seems so funny. It vacuums and then cuts your hair? It, like, vacuums
it? No, I think you cut it and then you vacuum it.
Oh, it vacuums the hair that falls. I thought it vacuumed your hair, so you got, like, all of it in a clump to then do one cut.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That makes more sense. Let's read about it. Has this ever happened to you? You need all of your hair vacuumed so you can make one cut? Oh, yeah, you're right. Ever wanted a haircut that looked like it was done by your vacuum cleaner? Oh, are you actually right? That's exactly what the Flow B promised. This bizarre contraption attached to a vacuum hose and evenly cut your hair
you
while sucking up the loose strands.
Motherfucker.
Even George Clooney likes to go to the Flow B for his hair care. Unsurprisingly, results were questionable at best, with haircuts ranging from lopsided to just plain tragic. Yet somehow the Flow B developed a cult following and even made a comeback in the 2020s. Well, I guess during COVID, people had to cut their own hair. I mean, this ain't going to be cheap. And we should get a pretty recent price estimate, right?
You have to go first this time.
Flow B precision hair cutting. It's a hose with a razor attached.
$30.
Okay. Can't believe this one made a comeback. I have never heard of this.
Oh man, we were off. Oh buddy.
Is it like 150?
Yeah. The Flow B system. It looks like the one in the picture is $169.95.
I was kinda right. That wasn't gonna come cheap. Damn.
Who's like, okay. I would buy it for if it was around 160. 170, no way.
I mean, George Clooney uses it. He's a handsome feller.
You can get the deluxe one for $225 or the mini vac for $80.
Ooh. That's still expensive. I was just thinking about how I need to get a haircut. Maybe I should get one of these.
Get a Flow B. Oh, you were poo-pooing the idea, and now you're like, it's genius.
If you're cutting your own hair, it's a good investment. I mean, that pays for itself after, like, what, 8 haircuts? All right. Oh, I remember this one. Paul, do you want to... Actually, I think my neighbors had this one. Do you want to read this one?
The Petty Paws. The pet nail grinder that scared every dog. Petty Paws promised to make trimming your pet's nails easy and stress-free with his gentle sanding tool. The commercial showed happy dogs and cats sitting calmly while their owner gave them a perfect manicure. In reality, most pets freaked out the second the noisy grinder turned on, making nail trimming even more difficult.
It definitely solves a real issue.
Except it literally just said it doesn't solve that issue.
Well, I mean, nobody's perfect.
How'd your neighbor's dog, did you ever see them use it on him? How'd they react?
I have no recollection of them ever doing manicures on their dogs.
Do you think this is a good gift idea for Phil?
Oh, for Frankie? For Stanky Frankie?
Oh no, I just felt like Phil maybe freaks out when he has to clip his nails.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I've seen him before. Those puppies go crazy.
Yeah, for Frankie.
So it's got a sandpaper thing and a motor. Doesn't seem that complicated to make, though.
I'm going to say even...
Honestly, I would go as far as to say that this is like in garage inventor territory. I feel like you could very easily make this in a garage.
I'm going to say $30 just because the tool as shown in that picture looks hefty. And I do feel like amount of material plays into this.
I'm going to go with half, 15.
Oh, okay. I think you're right. Sheen is selling it for $19.96. It seems like a lot of places sell it, but that seems about right. So that one's okay. Another one for you.
Sheen is notoriously cheaper, but yeah, that's probably about right.
Chewy.com sells it.
Oh, for how much?
Oh, yeah. They don't sell that exact one, but it seems like there's a bunch of them, and the more expensive ones do get pretty high up in price. But
damn.
They're not selling that.
What, are they using like a diamond blade?
They're not selling the Petty Pop branded one. This other website, She Speaks, is selling it for 20% off for... Oh, you still buy it on Amazon. It's like a weird link out site. Oh, it can go as low as $10 for one on Amazon.
Seems about right. All right, Paul. Next one is Phil's favorite, the Snuggie, because blankets apparently need sleeves. The Snuggie was essentially a backward robe, but the commercial made it seem like a genius invention. Regular blankets are so inconvenient, it claimed, showing people struggling to stay warm while reading or using the remote. The solution? A giant fleece sack with sleeves. I didn't realize it was from the 80s. I thought it was more recent. But
that's a recent thing. I feel like this list just kind of got lazy.
Maybe. Okay, how much does a Snuggie retail for? Now I'm feeling all Shark Tanky. I'm feeling all like, what are you selling these for? What's your markup?
I feel like it's gonna be interesting when I go to the site to see what like other products they sell now. Or I wonder if the Snuggie site still
sells. Well, we're looking for the price for the original Snuggie. Because like I said, they have one that makes you look like you're a Dr. Pepper can or whatever, but that's not what we're doing. I do remember the commercial for these. You first this time or am I first? No, I'm first this time, right?
Yeah.
Snuggie seems very squarely at like the $25 mark.
I think you're right. I'm wondering, in my mind, I'm going, that seems like the original price. It seems like they could make it for way less now, but is it a branding thing where people want Snuggies so they keep it at that same price?
Mom, I'm going to be a social pariah if I show up to school with a Snuggie.
I'm going to say $19.95.
Yeah, that was my other guess. It seems like it'd be right about there. I don't think people would get them for the whole family, though, if they were, like, each $70.
$24.99. Another point for Adrian.
That's 2 points. How many have I gotten? Three?
Yeah.
Is it 3 and 2 or 3 and 3?
3 and 2.
This is exactly what I was talking about.
The ab roller. Because crunches weren't complicated enough. The ab roller was designed to support your head and neck while doing sit-ups. But in reality, it just makes crunches more awkward. The commercial made it seem like a revolutionary fitness tool with chiseled models demonstrating the perfect crunch. People who bought one quickly realized it was just a bulky piece of plastic taking up space. I'm gonna say...
I don't remember it being for crunches. I thought it was for like a
belly different sort of workout thing.
Yeah, I don't really see how you would use that for a crunch.
Yeah, I don't know what they're saying in this. Like, is your head supposed to go on the wheel for a crunch? I thought it was like for a plank thing where it's like you extend to the plank and then come back up.
But how expensive could this be? It really is just a piece of cheap plastic. I'm going to go 10.
You're going to go lower. Okay.
No, 10. I'll give you at least $5 of space for. And I'm not going to be a dick about it.
It seems like there's a bunch of these, but they all. They go for a lot of prices. It looks like I'm mostly closer, but I want to see if I can find the one in the picture.
The ab roller, the original?
The one I see is going for $25.99. That looks closest
to
the picture.
That's insane. You could 3D print one of these now.
But I think there's like a bunch of, like if you just search generic ab roller on Amazon, there's a bunch of knockoffs too. They do look, there's some that do go for $11-$12. There's some that go for higher. I think the site that seems the closest, though, it's $25.
All right. Tied game. All right. Another one that I don't recognize. The Ronco Pasta Maker. Because homemade pasta should be... Huh? Homemade pasta.
Okay.
Because homemade pasta should be as complicated as possible. Ronco was the king of as-seen-on-TV gadgets. And the Ronco... Oh, so they make other stuff? I've never heard of this place or this brand. The Ronco Pasta Maker was yet another product that promised to revolutionize home cooking. The infomercial made it seem effortless. Just pour in the ingredients, press a button, and fresh pasta would magically extrude from the machine in perfect strands. Viewers were dazzled by the idea of skipping store-bought pasta and making their own spaghetti, fettuccine, or even lasagna sheets with minimal effort. In reality, the Ronco Pasta Maker was more of a project than a convenience. The dough often got jammed inside the machine, cleanup was a nightmare, and the motor struggled with anything thicker than angel hair. Many owners quickly realized that boiling a box of dried pasta took a fraction of the time with far less hassle. Still, thanks to relentless late-night infomercials, thousands of people bought into the dream of becoming pasta makers, only to let their Ronco Pasta Maker gather dust in the kitchen cabinet. I bet Ninja came out with one of these that's way better.
They do that, huh?
This one's an interesting one. I could see this one getting high.
I was thinking the same thing.
Am I first this time or are you first this time?
You're first this time.
I'm going to say full price. There's probably better ones now. It looks a little bit plasticky.
I'm going to try to find Ronco specifically. Which maybe this is one where they don't sell it anymore, which might mean that we have to... I don't know. This might be one where if we can't find... Because I could see nowadays there being a really wide range of prices.
A really one that actually works and is worth it. I'm going to say $80.
Yeah, 80 sounds about right for me. I think I'm going to go a little lower and say 60 to give you some wiggle room. But I want to go close to what you said. They do still make Roncos and they sell it on Amazon. Currently unavailable. Well, tell me what the price was when it was available.
And you got to use that Amazon price tracker.
Can I do that retroactively?
I don't know. I don't actually use any of those. Oh, $81.68 on Amazon. Oh, but it's not the same brand.
Oh, here. I have the price tracker for the official one. And over the years, it went to a point where we could both be right, but it said the average price was $62.77.
Maroon.
Just if you want to check my work, but it did go between 80 and like as low as $27 at one point and as high as $99.75.
Damn. For $27, I'd give it a shot. All right. Explorer. Don't let the old price inform you.
The Pocket Fisherman, the fishing rod for your glove compartment. The Pocket Fisherman was a collapsible fishing rod small enough to fit in your car's glove box. The commercial made it look like the ultimate convenience for spontaneous fishing trips. While it did technically work, it was far from ideal for serious fishing. Yet, its compact design and endless infomercial reruns made it a surprising hit.
Spontaneous fishing trips. Has this ever happened to you?
Yeah, you're never just driving around and you're like, oh, that pond looks like a good stop. And then you have to dive in because you don't have a pocket fisherman and just try to catch them with your hands like a moron.
No, you wait for the salmon to jump upstream and then you get him.
Was that that's something we didn't talk about, the like built-in, oh, this is what you would have to do if you didn't have this product, and they have like a moron struggling.
Yeah, yeah. That was a bit on Friends, where he's in an infomercial or whatever, and it's like, has this ever happened to you, and he's trying to open juice or whatever? Okay, so it was originally 1995, so now it must be like, oh wait, you go first, right?
Oh, I wonder if they still sell this. I bet you it could go for the same price now. I'll go for an even $23.
That's kind of what I was thinking, is like, I think they'd probably make some improvements and sell it for the same price.
For an odd $23.
I'll give some space and I'll do 15.
Okay.
Maybe I should go higher, shit. 15.
Wait, was this also made by Ronco? That's the one I'm seeing pop up.
Yeah, they're the kings, baby.
$41.99 for the Ronco Pocket Fisherman.
I should have gone. I was thinking that maybe it was like 30 or something like that, but that's crazy. Does it look good? Is that with the optional wrist strap, or is that...
Yeah, it is with the wrist strap. It really does look so similar to that picture. It's funny, yours isn't branded Ronco, but this exact same one you can get nowadays is $41.99.
Damn. Ooh, this one I should know. The Chia Pet, because who doesn't want a plant that looks like a sheep? Ch-ch-ch-chia. The catchy jingle. That one actually knew what the rhythm was for that one. The catchy jingle made the Chia Pet one of the most memorable as seen on TV products of all time. It was a simple concept. You spread seeds over a ceramic figure, water it, and watch it grow into a hairy plant. There was no real practical use for it, but it didn't stop millions of people from buying them.
Is there for most house plants?
Aesthetic beauty. Even today, Chia Pets pop up every holiday season, proving that some ridiculous products never die. I always thought it was nice when it was like a person like Bob Ross, where it becomes their hair or whatever.
The one they put a picture of really looks
is
very
ugly
stupid.
As hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not as compact. It's more like really loose bean sprouts.
And also, they have it on a plastic plate, which I feel like, you know, you put this on something nice. Bring out your finest china for your chia pet. Okay.
Fang China for your chia pet.
Fang China for your chia.
So the question is, how much is a chia pet? I think that's squarely in the $25 range.
Oh, I think nowadays there might be like a really good price for a small one for kids. So I'm going to go $15.
You got to find the price for the most bang standard Chia Pet.
I think you're close there. If you want the Smurfs beard one, that's $22.99. But let me see if I can find really bang
standard. Yeah, the
most
bang standard one, the Smurf.
Okay, wait. Beard. The ones they have on the website now, none of them are super bang standard. You want to see the... They have some funny IPs that they work with.
Okay, yeah, let's see it.
You're right, by the way. Your price is closer. They go for between $21.99 and $22.99. You can be the shell of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. You can be Beetlejuice's hair. You can be Stewie's hair from Family Guy.
Wait, but Stewie doesn't have hair.
Well, you can be an afro on top of Stewie's bald head.
Yeah, he has like four locks of hair.
You could be SpongeBob's non-existent hair. You could be an afro on top of SpongeBob. You could be Garfield's non-existent hair.
I think that's the one my neighbors had. I think they had Garfield.
You can be the Smurf's beard or the Smurfette's long locks of hair or Adrian. The funniest IP crossover of the list. You can be M. Threegan's hair.
Chia pet. You can be the Threegan?
You could be M3 against hair.
Did no one ever make a naughty version where, like, it grows as your pubes or whatever?
Oh, those were the knockoffs, but they have to exist, right?
Right? Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. All right, you're bringing it back. It's 4-5 right now.
Ooh, damn. Okay.
The Miracle Mop. Before Joy Mangino became a household name, she invented the Miracle Mop, a self-ringing mop that promised to make cleaning easier. The commercial featured Mangino herself demonstrating how effortlessly it worked, and people couldn't buy it fast enough. It might not have been as ridiculous as some other products, but the over-the-top infomercial made it seem like the most groundbreaking invention of the decade. Mangino went on to build a business empire, proving that sometimes all it takes is a good sales pitch.
Is this one of the Shark Tankers, or in what sense is this person a household name?
I don't know. You don't know Joy Mangino?
I'm sorry to say I don't.
She's like a mom to me.
Oh. First things first, rest in peace, Joy Mangino. For real. You're the only mother I ever knew.
I will give... It seems like it'd be a little pricier. I wish I knew what the mechanism was. That would help me price it. What's the mechanism
it's a miracle mop.
Oh, okay. Jesus, take the mop.
You mop with holy water. Jesus, take the mop.
I assume it's like a lever or something you use to squeeze the water. I will put
that. Because that's the hard part about mopping, right? Otherwise, what's hard about mopping?
What's the mechanism? I don't know. I've seen the ones that use centripetal force.
Right now, I'm just getting what is it called? Pareidolia? I'm just getting the mop in the picture looks like a guy with dreads with a face.
I was going to say it looks like a predator, but I guess predators have dreads. So
hey, yo! That's not what the I would alien. Call I'm not Hillary Clinton. I wouldn't call them super
the
predators.
The alien
but...
type. Adrian.
Oh, okay. Okay. Your good friend Hillary Clinton likes to say that.
I'll put this at $35.
$35 for a mop? I'm going to go $20. This costs, like, what, 10 cents to make?
The first thing that comes up is Joy Mangino's Wikipedia page.
So maybe we do know her, or maybe we should.
There's just too many Miracle Mops. I guess nobody ever trademarked it, because everybody else is selling their own Miracle Mop.
Which one looks the most like the picture? I don't know. Is there an original Miracle Mop?
I could watch the infomercial from 96 and see if they have a price.
Sure.
Oh, here we go. $19.95 plus $5.99 delivery. And it doesn't say multiple payments, so you're much closer.
Oh, yeah. I always forgot about the shipping and handling. It's self-ringing.
Oh, yeah. Let me actually reverse in this infomercial to see what the mechanism is that rings it.
Well, this is a bit rich. She's the president of Ingenious Designs. All right, maybe calm down about yourself a little bit.
Okay, her showing you that you can take it up and clean the top of your shower, it's like, yeah, you could do that with a mop. It feels cumbersome as compared to grabbing a sponge.
There's a movie based on her life? What is she? Jennifer Lawrence played her? And there's a stage musical about her life? What did she do?
Oh, that's what the movie Joy was about?
She graduated from Pace University with really good grades. 71 patents, damn.
Adrian, we are tied and there's only one left. Everybody's on the edge of their seats listening to this podcast.
Yeah, goddamn. All right, well, it's in popular culture. What's her personal life?
Should I look at the plot of the movie Joy to see what's interesting enough about her to make a movie?
I don't know. She's just a regular down-home lady.
I guess it's because she was a struggling single mother.
Oh, I know this one, the Ove Glove, because regular oven mitts weren't enough. I feel like they ran out of snarky things to say about these things. The flame-resistant, five-fingered glove promised to let you grab hot pans straight from the oven with ease. The infomercial showed people dramatically tossing aside their inferior oven mitts in favor of this high-tech heat shield. While it did work, it wasn't that different from a standard oven mitt. And still, thanks to dramatic demonstrations and a catchy name, it became a bestseller. The 80s were packed with overhyped, bizarre, and downright hilarious as seen on TV products. While many of them were more gimmick than game changer, that didn't stop millions of people from buying them. If nothing else, they proved that with the right commercial, people would buy anything. Alright, let's wrap it up with the Ove Glove. Ooh, boy, for the Ove Glove. It's one glove. I don't think it's a pair. So one high quality heat proof glove that mostly just looks like a wool glove with like some extra padding on it.
I can imagine the infomercial. Can't you just imagine somebody with a blowtorch holding it up to their hand wearing this glove? And they're like, see, I can't feel it.
The of glove. I mean, I said at the start of this episode, I feel like all of these things were 1999. And that kind of feels like where I would put this. Yeah, I think I'm going to go 1999.
I'm going to go $15 then. I think it's lower than that. They had to compete with actual oven mitts, which are like $2 or $3.
Didn't have the technology, though.
Okay, they do still have an official website. That's good.
Oh, boy.
Order now. 1995 through. Do you want to know what the range is? What options could I add on to make... Oh, it's just you could get 10 of them. It said 1995 through $175.
You can get more of them, yeah. So it was 1995?
Yeah.
Well, then, hey.
I was going to say this didn't add up to 12 products, but we did skip the first one, so it did add up to the 11 products we had, 5 and 6.
Which, if we had done 12, we would have had the chance to tie, so...
Yeah, good thing the first one was an unfindable product.
Yeah. All right, Paul, big fact, no cap, let's get out of here.
Yeah, well, first off, congratulations to you, Adrian. Let's not just walk by
it's
that.
It's just a game, it's not a big deal, you know?
Yeah. Me and Isabel's arms, like, I just want to win once, man. Later tonight. I just want to win once.
I tried so hard and got so far.
Big fact, no cap. Big fact. Why do they still have the As Seen on TV aisle at Target? That concept has been dead for so long. How does that, as a brand, still have a whole aisle at Target?
Are there not stores that have, like, As Seen on TikTok aisles, or is it not evolved at all?
Book Talk at bookstores.
Oh, nice. Okay. My no cap is, when in doubt, something's probably going to be 1999.
Ooh. Not with how inflation is.
With the tariffs.
Bye.
Bye.